Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Best Christmas Romance.
Best Christmas Romance. Yes. Yes, I'm looking forward to this, actually, because this is a category I have pulled
made up
behind.
Pulled out of your ass, for sure.
Yes. Yes, I have. But, you know, there's definitely a whole channel devoted to these things. And, you know, it's interesting to see what else could fit into that category. So that's why I think this is going to be fun. Mm. But we have our usual disclaimers, which we've already covered. One, there's going to be cursing. Yep. Will be spoilers if you've not seen any of these movies or whatever. You are going to find out some stuff. And there will also be things to drink. What are you having to drink now?
I got lunch, and so I'm having root beer.
You're the queen of romance. How fun.
Okay. I'm not going to say what time it is because that will make you look bad. I'm having root beer, and you can't stop me.
I'm having a mocktail. I'm not drinking.
It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, I was not going to pull out something crazy.
No, I'm not either. I'm calling it a red heart. It is cranberry juice and ginger beer. You know how much I love ginger beer. With some cranberries in it. And it is just what I needed for this afternoon. It is perky, sweet, red, and romantic. No, it's not. Whatever. But fine. So in discussing this category, I think it's important to talk about things that could qualify as a Christmas romance. And there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, there are a ton of movies that are arguably Christmas romances. So I read a list of, like, there was like 55 possible whatever, like, and a lot of them looked really stupid, so I'm not even gonna,
a lot of them are really stupid. I've watched some of them. They are pretty stupid because to give context for my list, me and my roommate, my roommate loves Hallmark. She loves making fun of it, and so I think it was in November, we got bored and we were just like, okay, let's start watching Hallmark movies, which is usually not very likely. I'm usually very, let's, after Thanksgiving, we can start doing Christmas. But this year I said, fuck it. And so I needed the holly jolly spirit. And so we started watching these awful Netflix ones, like Hot Frosty, The Merry Gentlemen.
God, you watched that?
Oh, I told you I watched that. It's horrible. But Merry Gentlemen was debatably worse. And not to yuck anybody's yum or anything like that. But, like,
that's one way to put it.
Yeah, sorry, but it's not for me. But some of the Hallmark movies we watched, some of them are really cute. And those are going to make up my list because those are the most, like, basic Christmas romance things I could think of. And me and my roommate coined a term, Hallmark hot. So all the women are gorgeous, of course. The men, they're generically gorgeous. And so we call them Hallmark hot.
Hallmark hot boys. Yep. Yep. My mother's been watching a bunch of Hallmark movies lately. So I have seen, and some of them repeat as the heroes in these things.
Like, oh yeah. There was one guy who I've now seen in 3 different Hallmark movies. I was like, damn, dude.
They have like a stable of like hot dudes. Hello.
Get that check. I cannot blame you.
No, I can't really either, but it's kind of like, wow. So I do want to point out that there are a number of other movies, and I want to give this also this extra disclaimer, which is that we are going to be having an episode about the Christmas movie that we, if you don't watch it, like, it's just not Christmas.
Well, I will say I have 5 currently, so I don't know if it's going to be single movie.
Okay. But in any case, while that is a category unto itself, it may bleed into this. And so there are a number of things that are potential Christmas romance movies that could end up on a list like that. But, you know, like Elf, I think, you know, there's an argument that Elf is a Christmas romance.
I mean, there's a romance in it.
There are obvious ones like The Holiday, White Christmas, I think is
Oh, I forgot about White Christmas. God damn it.
I'm dreaming. Natalie and her brother have White Christmas
No,
trauma.
me and my dad.
Well, okay, White
Nick
Christmas
was
trauma.
not present.
Well, okay, White Christmas. White Christmas. Whoa. In fact, is that trauma is real. The Holiday, obviously, I just mentioned Die Hard. I think there's an argument that Die Hard is a Christmas romance.
Not a very
So,
sound argument, is it?
but I have a lot to say about what I chose. I think it's going to make Natalie very upset. So I'm going last. You go next.
Okay. So a few ones that I would like to mention just in passing that I didn't choose for my top two, just because I think the reason why, and actually I'll give reasons why when I get to them. So number five, White Christmas. I completely forgot. It probably would have been number three. But I find both of the
Snow, snow.
anyway, I really like White Christmas. I have a trauma bond with my father about White Christmas. I will not expand further. But I just completely forgot about
Involves
them.
Biltmore.
It does involve Biltmore, which actually has something to do with part of my list, so we'll get there. Number four, The Holiday. I was just thinking of romances that were a little bit more well known, and The Holiday is definitely one of them. It's definitely not my favorite, for sure, not my favorite, but it has some good performances in it. Like, I really love Jude Law in that. Of course, I do. I mean, Kate Winslet's always a win, so can't blame that. Jack Black is actually pretty damn good in it. I don't know what thing
Cameron
in my
Diaz is
brain, whatever thing in my brain makes me not like Cameron Diaz. Like, I don't know why it switches on for that movie. Like, I like her fine in like Shrek. She's great in Shrek. But for whatever reason, like even in Something About Mary, you know what I mean? I'm just like, I don't know what it is, but I don't really like this person. Not the actress necessarily, but the character I don't love.
she's not warm. You know what
She's
I mean?
just a klutz and a person who messes up her life.
And it's beautiful.
It is gorgeous. I mean, Cameron Diaz is gorgeous, but for whatever reason, I don't like that character in that movie. But I like everybody else, basically. So that's why she can't make it to the top. And this is one that I'm sure will come up at some point in the future for different like reasons. But Love Actually, it's not in the top two because I couldn't single out a romance in there that like really deserved it. Because there are a lot of messy things in that movie, and no, everyone loves to bring that up. And yes, it is true. There's a lot of weird workplace things and weird friendship things that just don't work. And it's just, I really love Love Actually for a lot of different reasons. It gives me the warm fuzzies and all that stuff. And I'm sure I'll mention it in later lists, as I said, but for whatever reason, I just could not put it up there because I, again, couldn't single out a single like romance that I'm just like, oh, this is the main romance from that. It's like, no, I mean, there's so many things going on in that movie that I can't only say it's a romance. Well, I mean, it is, but not for every single plot line. It's a whole thing.
All right, so what's your number one?
Well, my number two.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm doing my number two, then you'll do your number two, then I'll
I
do
don't
my
have
number.
a number two.
Oh, okay. Then I'll do my number two, and then I'll do my number one, and then you do your number one. Okay. So my number two is a little movie that me and my roommate found on Peacock because Peacock has a lot of Hallmark, a lot. It is one called A Holiday Spectacular. It is about the Rockettes, which is
Oh, fun.
fun. It's a lot of fun. There are reasons beyond the romance that I really like the movie. It's a period piece. It is set in the 1950s, and it's this woman telling her granddaughter a story about how she became a Rockette. And it's this, what?
That actually has a tie to your own real life.
Yeah, kind of. I was taught dance by a Rockette.
Yep, you sure
I
were. Awesome.
cannot, I do not have those expectations for me. Absolutely not. I cannot kick, let alone like, no. Anyway,
Gretchen's amazing.
I
Miss Gretchen's incredible. So,
love her. She's amazing. But Basically, it's set in the 1950s. This girl, it's kind of similar to The Notebook in a way, where it's this high class girl who wants to escape her family. Well, no, it's more Titanic. I don't know. Either way, it can be whatever you want it to be. It is about this girl from
It's
an
a
upper class
romance.
family in, I believe, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia or something like that. And she wants to become a Rockette, and she auditions and she gets a spot. And so she, without her family knowing and without her potential fiance knowing, she moves. Well, they know that she's going to New York, but they think it's for wedding stuff. It's not. And she just keeps extending her trip, and they don't question it. But she,
Okay.
yeah, she goes to New York and in pursuit of her dream, and she where she meets this aspiring photographer, who's played by Broadway legend Derek Klena, who played Dimitri and Anastasia the musical, which I am was obsessed with,
Oh, yes,
still
you
am.
were. Yes, and he was your favorite.
Well, all of them were my favorite from that movie, from that show, to be fair. But yes, he was fantastic. And so she meets this aspiring photographer who works at his father's deli, who is his father's expecting him to take over the family business. It's a typical Hallmark. And she in while she's pursuing her own dream of becoming a Rockette, he supports her throughout, and it's very, very sweet. And she is encouraging him to apply to NYU for the photography program, and he eventually does. He stands up to his father, and she stands up to her parents about like what she wants, and she ends up moving to New York in the end, spoiler alert, and ends remaining a Rockette for another few seasons. And it's very, very sweet. The romance is so cute, and they just are supportive of each other's dreams, but also like are realistic about their prospects and stuff like that. It's a more grounded thing, even though it's about like really trying to go for your dreams, but it's like grounded in reality in many ways, which I appreciated. And another thing I will say, as fun as the Hallmark movies are, I personally prefer the ones that don't end in an engagement after knowing each other for 2 days. So I appreciated that they did not end in an engagement from my recollection, they did not end in an engagement. They just were like, they do end up like there's since it's told in flashback, we do get to see that they did eventually get married, but they did not get engaged. So yeah, it's really cute. I highly recommend it. It's on Peacock. It's probably somewhere else too. I'm not sure, but that's definitely one that's a lot of fun. If you were interested in anything Rockettes, it's mostly focused on that. But
That would be fun.
yeah, I might show it to you. Anyway, my number one, because
Your
I guess yours
number
is going to piss me
one.
off for some reason. My number one is A Biltmore Christmas.
Wow. Well,
I no joke watched.
you did have us watch this, so.
Yes, I did. I no joke watched this 3 times in 2 days. I watched it not recently, but like a couple weeks ago. Me and my roommate were just scrolling Netflix and just watching random Netflix movies and Hallmark movies and such. And I came across Biltmore Christmas. I'm like, I like Biltmore. I've been to Biltmore. It was a traumatic experience in many ways, but I did
It
enjoy
was
it.
fucking awesome
It was
still.
also around Christmas time, so we got to see the decorations and such, and it was really cute. But I was like, let's watch this one. It looks kind of interesting. It was really interesting. And so we watched it twice more after that because we watched it that one evening. Then the next day we showed it to one of our friends. And then later that evening we showed it to other friends. And then I no joke, one day when I was showing it to my family when I went home for Thanksgiving break, I got texts from like two of my friends saying, oh, I'm showing it to my family too. So that was funny. Anyway, let's actually like go into why I like this. But
Yes,
it's
it has
about
time travel.
it does have time travel. So it's about this girl who's screenwriter, Lucy, and she is a bit of a Scrooge around Christmas just because she wants, not necessarily around Christmas necessarily, but she's working this
All about
Christmas.
love. She's
Yes,
so.
about love. She's more of a Scrooge about love than anything else. She
Yeah.
likes Christmas. But she is writing an adaptation of a reboot of a classic like 1940s movie called His Merry Wife. And His Merry Wife is essentially what?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
His Merry Wife is essentially It's a Wonderful Life, but with more romantic tension.
I actually, you may never have seen The Bishop's Wife or The Preacher's Wife
I've
before.
seen parts of The Bishop's Wife.
Right. It seems much more like that. Like,
It has a guardian angel, that's why I said.
yeah, but I mean that the Bishop's Wife is a Cary Grant movie
Yes, I've seen parts of
where he is the guardian angel who falls in love with the wife of the person he's supposed to be guardian angel to. So this essential
Yeah,
story
it's
is
a
very
bit more like that, but they okay, so in the movie within a movie, there's this guy who's trying to earn his guardian angel wings, and he has to help this guy get his get the guardian angel's wife, former wife, since he's dead, but whatever, his widowed wife, to fall in love with this one guy. And he's having trouble doing that. And then he eventually lets her go and lets them be happy and all that stuff. And it's kind of a bittersweet ending, but it's more happy than not. However, Lucy doesn't really like that ending and she wants to change it. And she.
ever find out what the change is supposed to be?
Well, no, she wanted to change it to the. Because in the movie within a movie, the widowed wife kind of falls out with her current fiance because his family doesn't approve and he's not standing up for her. And so in Lucy's original version, she wants the widow to just leave and that to be the ending, and it just be like grounded in reality, and it's just like not hap no happy ending whatsoever. Anyway, she wants to change that, but then the studio exec is like, no, we want a happy ending. And so he sends her to Biltmore to get a feel for the place, get in the Christmas spirit, and to write a happy ending for him by New Year's.
And
And
sing White Christmas while you're there.
okay. Anyway, so she wanders around Biltmore and she comes across one of the movie props. From the mo props from the movie that's being showcased, it's a I almost said time turner. It's an hourglass, and she turns it, and it takes her back in time to when they were shooting the movie in the ni in 1948, maybe.
Remember.
I
I
think
think
it's
it is
1948.
48. Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, sorry, I've been watching a lot of Outlander, and so I'm thinking of those timelines and not this one. Anyway,
You
so.
get everything with Biltmore Christmas. You get Biltmore, you get timelines, you get a movie, you get scripts, you get it all. There you go.
So I'm not going to give away all of this stuff that happens, but she falls in love with the lead of the movie, the guardian angel, Jack Houston. What I really like about their relationship is that they kind of see each other for who they are and not who they're like trying to pretend to be. Like, 'cause he it's his first big break, and he is expected to act in a certain way by being like this debonair, like whatever. But he's just kind of a puppy who's happy to be there. And so
You
he,
like puppies,
I
let's face
do.
it. She doesn't like puppies in real life that much, but she likes like guys who act like
I don't like needy puppies,
puppies.
but anyway, so she. They fall for each other, and they just get to know each other as friends first and as people, and then they kind of move into something more. And I mean, it's really sweet. And their time travel shenanigans ensue, and I really like the old timiness of his character, of him being like, "You're kind of screwy, aren't you?" And it's funny. And
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's the fact that I like period dramas and whatever, and period romances, but it really worked for me. And that's why I rewatched it several times. And
It's been
yeah.
fun. I mean, I'll give it that. It is 1,000 times better than pretty much all of the other Hallmark movies I've seen recently, which have been way more than I ever intended. So,
Yeah.
I'll give you that. I will
Yeah,
definitely.
it's a really cute movie. If you like to see Biltmore on display,
I
watch
do.
it. If you
I
like,
want it back.
yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to go back and do Biltmore when I'm feeling better, because that was part of the trauma.
I'm not going to give away any like details on like the actual plot just because it's fun and I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah, but it is a cute, sweet movie. I have chosen as my number one Love Actually, which I had a feeling was going to piss you off, in part because I love this movie, but it is not going to be my I well, while it would be on one of my other lists for another show, I think it fits here for me as a best answer. And part of that, and I know, and I wrote down that there are 10 separate romances in this movie. There's probably more than that if you like start counting friendship and parenting and blah, 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 which I didn't. And there are definitely some that are good, and most of them are not. There's just
Yeah, I know. That's I move.
Yeah, so probably I going from worst to best.
Oh, we ranked them. Oh, fun.
And I didn't quite give it exactly worst
No, do it. Do
best.
it
Worst by far is Alan Rickman's character and
Oh,
Mia.
yeah. And
And
Mia,
Mia, that
fuck
fucking
her.
biatch. I
No,
fucking
but don't fuck her. Don't fuck her.
Yeah,
Don't
don't.
fuck
She's
her.
fucking terrible. She's a fucking biatch, is
No,
what
I'm talking
she
Alan Rickman. Don't fuck her.
said. Exactly. So I mean, so the part of the reason for, if you have not seen Love Actually, you absolutely should. And I'm gonna say this, part of the reason that I love this movie is it does have it and explores very in vignettes and kind of this interestingly constructed story, all different kinds of romance, and
All
it
different kinds of love.
different kinds of love, but most of it is romantic love, and I think it's partly, I've forgotten the, oh my God, I've forgotten the director's name,
Oh, Richard Curtis.
Richard Curtis, thank you. I knew it was Richard, and I was thinking I can't remember his last name. So Richard Curtis, he's done a number of other movies that we like because we like romance stuff,
About time.
About Time, whatever. But he was interviewed about this, and he basically says, love's the most important thing to him, and so this is a very well constructed look at different kinds of love, particularly romantic love. The music, the soundtrack, the songs they use are fantastic. There is a full circle element. Like, it starts with a discussion about the arrivals gate at Heathrow, and it ends with the arrivals gate at Heathrow. There, most of the people know each other or are connected to each other in one way or another, which we actually believe to be true of all British actors. So, and this has like just an array of great actors giving great performances, and it is really, really well done.
Go
But
on with your ranking.
so the so yeah so Alan Rickman, and they never say his name. I don't think that we ever hear.
Harry.
Pardon me,
Harry.
Harry. Oh,
Yes.
bad Harry. He does refer to himself, but no one else ever uses his name. So he and this girl Mia, who is his employee,
His
she
secretary.
his secretary. She's new. She's
She's
apparently
gorgeous.
she's dropped dead gorgeous, and in deleted scenes, apparently her whole intention for this Christmas season was to, screw up some guy's romantic life, essentially. It's like, so, and I,
What an interesting time.
yes, like I want to screw somebody basically, and ruin their life, and so he becomes the target of that, and he's too dumb to figure it out. I mean, like, or. The biggest question always has been, did he actually have sex with her? I always assumed no. It was just like,
I assumed no, but I recently watched a clip from that because I was watching someone's commentary on it just to, again, get a second opinion. But yeah, there are a lot of messy plot lines in this. But when watching the scene where, because he gets Mia a pretty necklace that Emma Thompson, who plays his wife, was expecting to get for Christmas and doesn't. She gets a Joni Mitchell album instead.
Oh my
The
God.
most depressing of albums. And so I had already, I also did not want to think that way of Alan Rickman. However, When did he give her the necklace is my question. And if he went over to her place and gave her the necklace, and we always see her in Mia in we sometimes see her apartment or whatever, and she's always walking around in her underwear and whatever. And so I'm now starting to think maybe they did have sex, but I don't know. It's unclear. I kind of like that it's unclear.
Yeah, because I honestly, for literally over a decade, was like, no, definitely not. And now I'm like, oh, maybe so. Yuck. Because, I sit there going, like, and that is actually part of the discussion at the end of the movie is, this question that Emma Thompson's character, Karen, has for him. Is it sex in a necklace? Is it love in a necklace? And the whole time I'm like, please no to all of it. There's a point where they're like at the office Christmas party and she's got devil horns on,
She's horny.
it's like all I can think is like she's like, oh hey, save a dance for me, or you want to dance with me? I'm thinking the answer very simply is no.
In
But
front of your wife, sir.
yeah.
And Emma Thompson has a moment later on in that movie, like right after the party when they're like getting dressed for bed or whatever. And she's just like, be
She
careful.
is
Mia's
pretty.
very pretty. Be careful with her. And it's like, you know she is. Be careful though. And then he isn't.
Yes. But and then he goes shopping for a fucking necklace. But this is a classic scene. Mr.
Mr.
Bean,
Bean.
yes, Rowan Atkinson, is the sales clerk, and it is
Hilarious.
hilarious. He's just the man's eyebrows are just incredible.
No bloody Holly.
Well, and but then you have like Alan Rickman, who is the opposite of that level of, I mean, he's so expressive with very tiny movements, whereas Rowan Atkinson is like big movement guy.
Whoever had the idea to get those two in a room is they're comedic
Brilliant.
geniuses.
It's brilliant. It's fucking awesome. So that 100% is worth it. So but that is by fucking far
The
the
worst.
worst relationship in this entire thing. I would put next in the relationships that are,
I have an idea of what I put next.
yeah, what I would put next, and I'm looking at this, it's probably the Karen Harry relationship. Although I love Karen, so maybe not. So my
Wait, Kara?
Karen, Emma Thompson's character.
Oh, I thought you said Kara. That's why I was confused. Yeah, he did
Yeah, I mean,
cheat on her for a minute.
yeah, I mean, I love Karen.
Me too. I love Karen.
Because she's such a regular person. She part of the through line is she is friends with Liam Neeson's character, whose name is Daniel. She is the sister of the prime minister, who is played by Hugh Grant. But in every scene, you see her doing total normal mom things, like
And also being a great friend.
being a great friend to Daniel and honest, like honest and listening and all this stuff. Daniel's lost his wife and there's a funeral and whatever, but she listens to him. She talks to him about being a step parent. She's being a good parent to her own kids, even though her horrible son Bernard, which we don't even see why he's horrible. She's just, whatever.
We just assume it's true.
But in every scene, Harry's not taking for her for granted. He's not listening to what she's saying. They go shopping, and they're at the school play. Or right before the school play, she they
She's the
have,
one backstage helping with the costumes.
right. But before the school play, they decide that they're going to open up presents, and she thinks she knows what her present is that's in a certain size box, which turns out to be the Joni Mitchell CD. And the scene where she says she could I just step away for a moment, too much ice cream, where she has this meltdown, this silent, I've got to control this because we've got to get to the kids to the play meltdown,
Mustn't forget the kids.
is just beautiful.
Heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. It's a great performance. And you think of Emma Thompson in at least some of these period things, and in very specific roles or goofier roles, where she's Nanny McPhee or whatever. She's just a person in this, and she does this so beautifully. And she does the confrontation with Harry, as happens in real life, like with all the interruptions of her kids running up and other parents saying hello. And but she is laser focused with him, and but able to multitask. So, she'll say whatever she needs to say, the socially correct, politically correct thing, but then she comes back to, so what would you do if you were me?
Here's a hypothetical. Maybe I just off the top of my head. What if you bought a necklace and come Christmas Day, you gave it to somebody else who wasn't your partner? What would
So
you
what
do?
would you do? When she sees her brother backstage, and she's just like that very genuine, oh my God, you're actually here. And you're here on a day when I am in crisis, and you don't know that I'm in crisis, but I am. I mean, just that very real. And then like the turning it off, like, okay, I'm not in
Emma
crisis.
Thompson's probably one of the best parts of this movie.
She's
She's
fantastic,
so good.
but the relationship's fucking terrible.
Oh yeah.
So
I had a different argument for a different couple that I thought deserved to
okay,
be
you tell
low.
me what yours is, and I'll tell you where I would put them. Go ahead.
Okay, what's his name? I don't remember his name, but Keira Knightley
Oh,
and
Mark and
Mark and
Julie.
Juliet. There we go. Mark is his name. Mark
Yes.
and Juliet, I would put really low.
Yeah, they were actually, it's them or Sarah and Carl, but
No, Carl's too
Carl's
good
so
for that.
stupid.
Mark. Creepy, creepy Mark. It's an iconic scene for a reason. If she wasn't married to your best friend. Ooh.
Hard scene. So,
Oh
like,
yeah.
those who aren't
Oh
coming
yeah.
over
You
talking.
knew which one I was talking about.
Andrew Lincoln,
Oh,
slightly.
fantastic in this movie,
Oh, yeah.
but
Oh, my
everyone is. And Keira
God.
Knightley, wasn't she like 17 when they did this movie?
Yeah, she's like super young. It was like maybe right before Pirates.
I saw
So.
like this random post or something. It was under the video that I was watching that was like commentary about this, but it like the guy thought that the kid who played Samuel was like 8 years old or whatever. But in the comments, it's just like, yeah, the kid you were calling the 8-year-old was 5 years younger than Keira Knightley in this movie. Isn't that wild?
It is. It is.
And yeah, this was just before Pirates.
It was just before Pirates. But I'm sorry, you were talking about Andrew
Oh
and
yeah,
Mark.
creep, 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 creep.
Which,
So
yeah,
the
go ahead. Make your argument here.
unrequited love, but creepy, creepy, creepy. So, it's fine to have unrequited love to film. Okay, let me just go through what happens. So, at the very beginning of the movie, Peter, his be Mark's best friend, and Juliet, his long-term girlfriend, get married, and it's a very beautiful wedding. All that stuff. They seem very happy. Throughout this, Mark is like a videographer, like an amateur videographer, and he like is a curator at a like art
Art gallery.
gallery. And so he's filming throughout the wedding day and getting stuff for a wedding video. And so Juliet, she calls him up one day and is just like, or yeah, she calls him up one day and is just like, hey, the wedding video that we got from our videographer sucks. And it just is really poor quality. Can I look at the stuff that you were filming throughout the day? And he's just like, oh no, I don't know. And then she comes by one day out of the blue and is just like, hey, can I look at it? And he's just like, I don't know if you're gonna be able to find it. And then she brings up the VHS tape and she's like, Peter and Juliet's wedding, is that, am I on the right track? And she pops it in, and it's all just videos of her very close up, like
From the wedding,
from the wedding. And obvious, huh?
it's mostly her face.
Yes, it's mostly her face or her eating something or her whatever. And it's, well, I didn't think about it until the commentary. It wasn't even the commentary that brought it up. It was me watching it again, being like, oh God, does he jerk off to that? Oh God, I hate that thought. That's disgusting. And like it's that made it extra creepy for me this go around of like, oh God, that's messy, messy, messy. And
Always
so
be messy. Yes.
And then it all culminates in the let in the not the letter scene, the card scene. And it's a beautiful scene, and him basically being like, I love you. I'm not going to do anything about it, but I do love you. I wanted you to know that. Hopefully, I'll be able to move on from this, but just wanted to let you know that's what that was about. And she's just, and then she gives him a kiss, and I'm like, oh, don't do that. It
That was pity. I mean, but at
was pity, and I know that was pity. It was more her being like, okay, that's it. That's all you're going to get. So have fun with that. And then he says, enough, enough now. And it's just like, enough now. It should have been enough before, but whatever. And
I don't think he ever wanted her to know.
oh, certainly not, but it's still like as long as he's able to move on from that, Jesus.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Mark is a piece of work. Juliet gave him a pity kiss. I don't know why, but she did. I think it could have been a kiss on the cheek and it would have been fine, but the fact that it was on the lips kind of put me off.
So here's the thing to me about this performance by Andrew Lincoln, because honestly, there is a much higher level of creepy that could have crept into this.
The
But
self-loathing helps.
yeah, the self-loathing helps. There's again, after she sees the video and she's like, but wait a minute, you don't like me, what the fuck? And he's like, it's a self-preservation thing. And you can see him almost in tears, like, oh my God, I never, ever, ever wanted to have this conversation with you. And he leaves and he's like, should I go back and talk to her? And he realizes, no, he shouldn't. He needs to like start to get the fuck away from this. And so as he's walking away, there's a great series, and the music's fantastic and so well synced too. Like he zips up his jacket and it's really, really well done. So again, I think a lot of it is just you're able to empathize with him in a way that makes it less creepy.
Yeah, I he his performance certainly helps, but at the same time it doesn't completely take away the creepiness of it.
There's some creepy for sure.
All right, continue. Yeah,
Continue.
Carl deserves better than that, mother.
Yes, he does. Carl does deserve better than that.
Carl's fantastic.
So the Karen and Harry thing still would be, as a relationship, one step above the Harry and Mia. Oh my God, Harry and Mia is terrible. Mark and Juliet, that's fucking weird, but it is, and that would be third up from the bottom. Fourth, and this is where things get hard for me because I think I absolutely love certain things about Sarah and Carl, but I hate how Sarah behaves.
Yes, I have a lot
Which
to
is
say about
much
that.
of the, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just to go through their thing, Sarah, she's an American. It doesn't really matter that she's American. She's Laura Linney. We don't have to explain. She has a,
Work for Harry.
she works for Harry. Thank God he doesn't go after her. So she is works for him, and Carl also works, I think, in the IT division or something like that. And or data analyst, something or other, doesn't matter. He is very hot,
Very hot.
extremely, extremely attractive
Yes.
man. The opposite of
Yes.
Hallmark hot, like he's just hot, hot.
Yes.
And so he is a handsome European man, and
Yeah.
she is Laura Linney, and this is Masterpiece Class. And so she.
Enjoy this. Here you are.
Think I would enjoy talking about Love Actually. I love talking about Love Actually,
It would be fun. Yeah.
but Laura Linney, she's lusting after him and all that stuff. It's been
Aren't
2 years,
we
and
all? It's
she's,
okay.
aren't we all? She's had a crush on him since she arrived 2 years ago, and so that's that. And so they kind of like are awkward around each other around the office, but you don't really get a vibe that he's as interested as she is until the office Christmas party where Dirty Harry's doing whatever the fuck he's doing, and Carl asks Sarah to dance, and Emma Thompson's like, go girl, go. Get your hands on a European man. And so she dances with Carl.
There has been, up until the night of this Christmas party,
Phone
you
calls.
hear her phone going off. She has a cell phone and it goes off periodically. She takes calls like all the time, and you don't know what it is necessarily. Proceed.
Yeah. And so she's they it what they're about to dance, but then it turns into a slow dance and it's really very cute. And they slow dance cheek to cheek and they clearly have some kind of connection. And so he drives her back to her place and at the
This
door.
gorgeous dress on too. I
Oh
must
yeah, she has a great
say.
dress on.
Yeah.
And they're standing at the doorway and they're kind of awkwardly like, okay, well, this is me. And it's like, okay, well, what are we gonna do? That awkward thing. And then they both go in for the kiss, and so they start making out, and clearly it's going to lead some to some hot European sex. And
As opposed to other kinds of sex.
well, he's so hot, Mom. He's so hot. And
It's absurd.
the glasses even help that in many ways. Like,
He's got Clark Kent things going on.
oh yes, oh yes, and his body is made chiseled out of stone. Anyway, they start making out, and then she's like, there's the iconic moment of, can you give me just like 2 seconds? And then she like goes to like her stairwell next to the door, and she just like silently freaks out, like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then she quickly cleans up her room, and then they start like they're starting to like have get ready for having sex and like making out and stuff like that, like undressing, that kind of thing. And then her phone goes off. And she explains that it's her brother who's mentally ill and in an institution, and he calls a lot. I don't know why he has that much access to a phone, but okay, I will go with it. And so he's trying to like get the Pope for an exorcism. It's a whole thing. And she's like, okay, well, I have to make myself available for you. So I'm going to leave in the middle of having sex with this handsome man, and I'm going to hang out with my brother instead,
And we're
even
all
though.
like, oh my
And
God,
I'm like, lady,
here's
will
your
it? And he and Carl brings up a fair point of like, will it make him any better? And she's just like, no. And then she answers the phone anyway.
well, right. So like he's like just like, he's very understanding about her taking the phone calls. But when she gets on the phone, she's like, no, I'm free as a bird. And he's like, hello. Like, I
I'm
guess
half naked.
you're fine. Or I mean, is this where I fit in the priority list? It's like,
And will it always be like that?
right.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like he's just very he tries to be very understanding. He's like, oh, there are just always complications, blah blah blah. And
It's life, but
right,
he has to
but
draw a line. If you're in the middle of
yeah.
sex and your phone rings and it's your br and mentally ill brother who wants you to come over right this second, who ha does not have an actual valid complaint and need for you to
No,
be there,
right.
don't go.
Right.
For at least finish having sex. And like, I mean, come
Talk
on,
about it
woman.
afterwards or something. I don't know, but it's very,
It's
very, very
so,
sad.
so sad.
And then at the end,
It's
like,
just her
basically
and her mentally
turn
ill
around.
brother, and which is
Right.
nice, and it's nice to show like siblings and whatever as a relationship and love and all that stuff, loving re each other regardless of complications. But come on, man, you could have fucked that guy. It would have been
Well,
fantastic.
and poor Carl's like, oh, Merry Christmas.
Okay. And then they're just like, okay, Merry Christmas. And then he is about to say something, then he leaves.
Yeah,
Ah,
so sad,
Carl.
horrible. So yeah,
Carl.
that is definitely on the lower tier here.
Oh, for sure
Yes,
it is.
definitely lower tier.
All right, next.
Next for
Number
me,
three, was it? Or what?
well, I'm counting from the worst, so one, two, three, that was four. So number five for me is going to be Colin and his big knob.
Oh God. Maybe that deserves to be below Carl and Sarah.
Look, he does end up with a girl
Many girls,
in the end. Many
yes.
girls, a
Harriet, to
bunch
be
of
clear.
girls. So there is this creepy delivery dude who like clearly cannot keep a job. He's just kind of like one of those goofball guys. Oh, would you like some lovely nuts? He's that kind of guy. He's like always making
Beautiful
fun.
muffin for a beautiful lady.
Yeah, like trying to make sexual innuendo out of stuff. Like he works, food industry or
And he
delivery stuff.
thinks the women are the problem.
Yeah, he thinks that women are not interested in him because they're stuck up. It's like, no, because you're creepy.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude. You're just creepy.
And he has a friend who is a he works on film sets or
He's
something.
like a PA of sort, maybe a director of
Lighting guy,
photography of
maybe
some
a
kind, lighting guy, sound guy. Don't know.
But anyway, so he's talking to this guy all the time about how he's going to go to America and the women are going to love him because he's got a cute British accent.
I get my cute British accent. You don't have a cute British accent. Yes, I do. We love this movie, if you can't tell.
It. You're an ugly asshole.
You're an ugly asshole, and you must accept it.
It's so funny, but he goes to America
Kim Bauer.
and there are these there are these gorgeous actresses in a bar. Like, this is how
In
bars are
Wisconsin.
in Wisconsin, like random bar in Wisconsin. And they're all like just
Like a
like
dive
falling
bar.
over for him. It is hilarious.
And they're like, oh, well, we only have one bed and no pajamas, so you're just gonna have to stay with us. Basically spreading legs.
Yeah, this
And
is like
so
this
they,
guy's wet dream. We have
oh,
just
yeah. And he, and again, he fulfills it. And then Harriet comes to town, which one of their friends who's coming to stay with them, and they're like, and she's the sexy one. And he's like, praise the Lord. And they're like, she's a Christian too.
He's a Christian.
Jesus
And
Christ.
then
And then
her
her
friend.
sister Carla comes with her when at the very end to come to England and obviously like gets on Tony and all that stuff.
Right, but the sister is played by some supermodel actress. I mean, that like all these people are just like unbearably.
I mean, they're insanely gorgeous,
They
so,
are. How
and
long?
they deserve better than Colin and his big ass knob.
Yeah. When he goes to get on the plane, he's like, "Here comes Colin, and
And
he's
he's got
got
a
a
big
big knob."
knob.
So
Anyway,
funny.
moving
So
on
funny.
from
But
that.
yeah, that's gonna be low on the list. Also, let's see other things that are like, I feel like one of these I should put lower than I intend than I'm going to, but and I'll get to that. I'm gonna put Josh and not Joe, Jack and Judy.
Jack and Judy. Yeah, I
Yeah,
like Jack and Judy. They're really
I
cute.
like them, but they're okay. They're just
But they
not.
don't show a lot of them, do they? Well, they show a lot of them, but like they don't like show a lot of their relationship.
Sadly, this is probably the most normal relationship, and yet it is people.
But I love
I
that that's the
mean,
most normal relationship.
so Jack and Judy are
Stand-ins.
body doubles on a set for, and they are doing awkward as fuck things, literally. They're simulating sex so that they can get the lighting right before the actual actors come in, and they are having these chatty, normal conversations while they're.
Ugh, the traffic was murder, wasn't it? Ugh,
Yeah.
took me 50 minutes this morning.
Yeah.
It's like,
Well, they mimic fellatio. Okay.
you
And
know,
then
really, and then he asks her out for like a Christmas
a drink.
drink,
Yeah.
and we don't get to see the Christmas drink. We get to see him walking her home afterwards, and she says, "All I want for Christmas is you." And they kiss, and then she like
She
goes
kisses him,
inside.
and
Yeah,
he
no, she kisses
jumps
him
off the set.
first, and then he jumps down from the stairs and is like, "Yes!" And honestly, that's just so cute. Like the fact that they've already like mimicked all of these sexual things, you'd think that that would be the most sexual relationship we see. No, it's probably the least sexual, which honestly is even more su sweet that
Yeah.
like they just begin with a little kiss and he's very happy with that. And that, I mean, come on, man, that's cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
I wish we saw more of it.
It is cute and it's
And then
most
they end
normal.
up engaged at the end, so that's nice. Even a month afterwards. But I mean, I guess if you know it works, whatever
Yeah.
works
So,
for you.
but they're kind of in the middle for me.
I agree.
So then we have on next on my list would be Billy Mack and his manager, Joe.
That's a friendship, mother.
Shouldn't be this high,
It
but
shouldn't be
he's
that high because it's a
so funny.
friendship. It's not romance.
I love Bill Nighy in this role so much.
Don't we all? Well, actually, the guy who was commentating on the thing didn't just would skip past the Billy Mack stuff. I think it made him uncomfortable, but
I love this through line. It is fucking awesome. So Billy Mack is a rock star, a failed rock star, heroin addict, whatever. The movie begins with him trying to sing a cover of a previous song that they're making over into a Christmas song. And like he's just hilariously, he sings well, but I mean, he's hilariously bad with the lyrics. He does none of the things that you're supposed to do these days well. Like you're supposed to go on this promotional tour and go on a radio show and talk about how great your song is. And he's like,
But be humble about it as well.
right. And he's just like, none of that. He's just none of it. And you know, everything is sexual. Everything's about like, because he gets asked, oh, well, what's the best shag you ever had? And he's like,
Britney Spears.
yeah,
She
she was
was
rough.
rubbish.
She was rubbish.
And then he tells, and it's just like, do you have a message out there for the kids? Yes, kids, don't buy drugs. Become a pop star, and they give you them for free. It's like, don't do that, actually.
And he makes fun of the penis size of his competitors for the Christmas number one, which I guess is a thing in England.
Blue.
And he ends up getting Christmas number one. He gets invited to Elton John's, but he'd rather hang out with his manager or get pissed
Who's been with them
off.
this whole time?
Yeah. And it is not a love relationship, but
Is not, no.
it is, and it shouldn't be this high, but I just like the fact that there's a genuine, hey, connection between these people, whereas some of these others, the big knob is not really my idea of a genuine connection.
No, why is it this high?
Well, I don't know. So then we have on my list.
I know what I would rank the last few as, but or at least the last two that I can remember
Right.
as. Well, unless we're counting Sam.
I'm counting Sam.
Okay, fine, we'll count Sam.
I'm
All
counting Sam.
right, then what do you put?
Would put Jamie and Aurelia.
I agree.
Yeah, so Colin Firth plays this guy, Jamie, and he
He's
has,
cucked.
pardon me?
He's cucked
Yes,
by
he is
his brother.
by his brother, like early in the movie, and it's really, really sad. Like, how can you do this to Colin Firth? Colin Firth's
Like,
fucking,
what
yes,
the
but he gets thrown
fuck?
over for his brother, who's not nearly as attractive. He's a writer, and he goes to the south of France to get inspiration and write. And where he's staying is a little house, chateau, whatever,
Get inspiration.
on a pond. And he has the person from whom he rents this place, I guess he comes every year, has someone assigned to clean this particular year, who is a girl from Portugal, who is just doing the work. She's cleaning,
And she's gorgeous.
and oh my God, she's gorgeous. It's like
She's
insane.
insanely
She
gorgeous.
is insanely gorgeous. And she accidentally causes all of the pages of his book to go into a pond, and she gets to see Colin Firth in a pond, which every woman since Pride and Prejudice has been wanting to get in a pond with Colin Firth,
The
and
way he falls into
she
the
gets
pond is so fucking
to
funny to me. Like she like strips and it's a beautiful, like elegant little dive into it, and then he just like takes off his sweater and just topples over. It's very
now she's
funny.
going to think I'm a complete spaz if I don't get
And then the thing, the main thing that you haven't mentioned so far is that she can't speak English and he cannot speak Portuguese.
Right.
So
But somehow they finish each other's sentences, even though they're not speaking the same language and they're not understanding what the other person's saying. There's definitely this mental connection there. And so when he leaves to go back to England with all of these, Christmas presents and stuff like
Or
that.
his big family who hates him because his brother fucked his girlfriend.
Yeah, that makes no sense. But she kisses him, and then she's very sad and goes away, and it's whatever. So he goes back to England. He realizes when he goes to drop off the Christmas presents that he hates them.
No, he
Oh,
starts learning Portuguese.
that's right. He learns Portuguese first. And then he drops off the Christmas presents, and he looks at his family like, yeah, I'm not staying.
And you see his brother, and he's just like,
Yeah,
like, I wonder why.
nope, leaving. And he goes, and this is part of, there's an end sequence, or close to the end sequence, where he is going back to Marseille, and it's intercut with the two other main romances, or what I consider to be the main romances, good romances in this movie.
Doesn't go back to Marseille, he goes to Portugal.
No, it's Marseille.
Her family is there.
Right. I think they all live in Marseille, and she's working
Oh.
there.
Okay, I guess I'm wrong.
Anyway, so because the
But everybody around them speaks Portuguese.
that might be a Portuguese neighborhood in Marseille.
I don't know, Mom. I
But
don't know.
all I can say is when you look at the airport, it says Marseille.
Oh, okay. Then I'm fucking
So
wrong.
that's, I didn't make it up.
Why didn't you start with
I
that?
tried to. You interrupted me.
Sorry.
So he goes to, and where, how he knows where she lives, I don't know. He goes to talk to her, and he's in broken Portuguese asking her dad. And then, like, the entire neighborhood follows to where the restaurant where she's working. And he proposes to her in Portuguese, and she accepts in English because she's learned English just in cases. And it's adorable, and they kiss, and like everybody else in her family kisses him. And it's really cute and sweet and funny, and the music is awesome. So,
I think I again, I'm not one for it to end in an engagement after so short a time, but it works for me. I
it's okay.
can just assume that they understand each other because they've understood each other even through different languages. So,
That works for me.
anyway.
It works for me. So, my second to best is the Prime Minister and Natalie.
Why are they second best?
Because Sam and Joanna, I think, are the best romance. They're adorable.
I would switch them personally, but fine.
Okay. I mean, they're almost like on par, but whatever. I know why this is your favorite, because that he dances to Jump and you love Hugh Grant.
That's not why.
So tell me why. Why is
Well, I'm going to start with what my second favorite, which is Sam and Joanna.
fine.
So, in my ranking, Sam and Joanna are next because I think they're adorable. I think they're very cute. I love that these voice actors play lovers in multiple things.
Yes, Phineas and Ferb particularly is so
It's so
great.
funny. We don't get to see much of their relationship, but just based off of how Sam describes it, he's just like, she's the one. She's the one I want. And she's American, and she's going to be moving back to America at the end of this. After Christmas, and I don't know why, but it's that timeline. And so, he wants to impress her, and he thinks that she doesn't even know who she, that he exists. And so he wants to impress her by joining the Christmas pageant and being because she's going to be singing in it. And he wants to be a musician so that she can be impressed by that. And so he learns how to play the drums and he kills it and he's great.
Very, very quickly, by the way.
Very quickly.
And you make your argument for it, and I will make my argument for why I put it higher, but go ahead.
We just don't see much of them together. That's my problem. And so Sam, after the con, like she during the concert, she's singing All I Want for Christmas Is You, and she's singing it superbly. Like
It is
she's
out.
insane.
Well, and I will say this, Richard Curtis actually made these people who sing in this movie sing live. And so, like, Bill Murray sing, sing.
I feel like I remember them recording it and then having to add the breaths just to make it sound less perfect. I feel like that's what I've heard. I don't remember. Either way, I wouldn't put it past them. And so she's incredible. And when she sings All I Want for Christmas Is You, she points at Sam, and then she points to other people and he gets upset. And at the end,
So cute.
and this entire time, he's been getting tips from his dad, Dan his stepdad Daniel, played by Liam Neeson, about how to woo her, and watching romantic movies like Titanic, which is so cute, and it's a very cute little section of the movie that's just so fun to watch. And he, and so they come up with a plan of like, okay, well, she's leaving for the airport right now. What do I do? And they're like, we're gonna go to the fucking airport. Let's get the shit kicked out of us by love.
Let's get the shit kicked out of us, my love. That is the best.
It's so sweet. And so they go to the airport. He sneaks past security with the help of Mr. Bean, and he runs through the airport after her. And Billy Mack provides a distraction because he agreed to go absolutely stark naked on New Year's Eve, playing his song if it reached number one. And so he gets to say goodbye to Joanna, and he says, Joanna, and she's just like, Sam, and he's like, you know my name, and I'm like, if if she didn't know your name, this would be the worst day of your life. Like, what? You just went through all of that and she didn't, may not have known your name, bro. Anyway, so she's like, of course I do. And he's escorted back to the gate by security. And she comes up, Johanna comes up behind him and gives him a kiss on the cheek and goodbye. And she leaves back to New York and, or America. They just say America. And then in like the epilogue, she comes back to England. She just going for the,
I don't know, it was unclear.
See, not perfect, is it? And so
I'm sorry, Biltmore Christmas is not perfect either.
Let's not go there. Anyway, so she and then there's a cute moment with them at the end where like she's like, hey, and then he's like, hey, and then they don't do anything and they're very awkward, and then Liam Neeson, Daniel's like, oh, he should have kissed her, and then his new girlfriend who he met at the Christmas pageant is just like, no, that's cool.
Yeah,
but it's cute, it's very adorable, especially the stuff leading up to it, but the actual romance itself, I would not make it number one personally.
Well, and I can see your argument. The reason that I love it so much is the whole premise of it being this just very pure childlike thing, or you think of it that way, because when Sam is talking to Daniel initially about, because Daniel thinks like, oh, he's depressed about his mom and I've got to talk to him and it's hard because I'm stepdad, blah, blah, blah. And he's talking to him and Sam's like, I'm in love. And he's like, aren't you a little young? I'm like, and no, he's like, well, I'm relieved. He's like, why are you relieved? why are you relieved?
The total agony of being in love. And he's like, oh yeah, total agony. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's very, very sweet. And I do love the Daniel Sam relationship. I also, and we don't, I did not mention, because they're both so cursory. Daniel's relationship with his deceased wife is not really discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this, oh, well, you know, my deceased wife wanted me to bring Claudia Schiffer to the funeral. Of course, the woman playing his new girlfriend is Claudia Schiffer.
Is it?
Yeah.
I never knew that. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No, that's part of the reason it's hilarious.
Oh, that's so funny. That adds a whole new element now. How did I not know that?
Yeah, it's really, really great. And so, like, when they meet backstage, Sam is, like, you know, like, elbowing Daniel, like, oh, I think what I like about this is the purity of it. There's not a lot of the weird, and although much of the weird in some of these other relationships is quite real, I just like that there isn't any real weird there. And yet you have, and some of the shots are great. So Sam running through the airport with security chasing him, it's just beautifully shot. It's beautifully done. So I think that's part of it, is like some of the construction of this I really, really appreciate. So you would put number one and I would put number two, but it is really a close call for me.
David and Natalie.
Yes, David the Prime Minister and Natalie the employee.
Okay. They were not employees when they eventually hooked up.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me in the way that it matters to you. So it doesn't actually bother me, but I guess it bothers you.
Well, no, what I like about it is it's kind of like not the opposite of the Harry and Mia thing, but it's the Harry and Mia thing without a marriage being wrecked and also done correctly as far as like,
yeah, no one's going into this relationship like, oh, I want to have sex with somebody, or oh, I, you know, there's no ulterior motive involved in any of this. No. So to me, they aren't even comparable in my mind. They are not the same thing.
Right. Anyway, so David is elected as prime minister, and that's all very exciting, and he's excited, and he has to meet his household staff, which is including Penny from JC Penny from James Bond.
That's not her.
Yes. No, I'm not talking about Natalie. I'm talking about the Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
It's not.
I thought
She's
it
in a bunch
was.
of other things, but no, I don't think so.
I'll look that up.
Okay.
Anyway,
You look at I can talk about the
yeah,
relationship
fine,
later.
you talk about it.
Okay, so
That's definitely her.
she is like a catering manager or something.
But Natalie is, yes.
And so she is introduced, and the very first thing she does, and she's supposed to be all prim and proper because that's it's England and you're meeting the prime minister, and she says shit in the first sentence, and then she says it again, and then she says fuck, David just thinks this is the funniest thing ever. The meet cute is adorable. And you see immediately that he's very insecure about how attracted he is to her immediately. They have a couple of chats in his office while she's like bringing him biscuits and tea and blah, blah, blah. And again, you get this kind of sense of him being interested in her as a human and her being interested in him, blah, blah, blah. And then the US president comes to visit. And US president is played by Billy Bob Thornton, and he is a complete like Bill Clinton clone. He's like oversexed, whatever. And so he gets very he starts talking about how attractive Natalie is and how he'd like to have sex with her kind of thing. And it gets under David's skin. He's really just unhappy about it. And so David steps out to get some paperwork to discuss with the president. Natalie has brought in something to serve, and the president is physically close to her when David comes back in the room. So he's got like he's touching her hair, and whispering in her ears what it looks like. And she looks super uncomfortable. And David's like, oh, fuck no. He doesn't say it. And he doesn't like overtly come to her defense, but he's very, very upset. And
Okay, I think I figured out what I did in my head.
yeah.
She's not, she doesn't play Moneypenny.
Right.
She's Tia Dalma in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, did I know that? That's awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool. She's awesome. She's an
Thank you.
awesome actress. I just thought this actress was also her. I
No,
don't know why.
they're not the same.
Ignoring that.
But yeah. So in any case, they go into a press conference. The US president and David go into this press conference immediately after, and the president's all cocky and being an asshole, and he's like even more arrogant than he would have been before he's nearly molested Natalie. And
Yeah, like he's like blowing in her ear or something like that
yeah,
when he's
he's
doing something weird. And she's just kind of standing there like, what
oh
the
my
fuck is
God, right?
happening? Like, huh?
And so at the press conference, David responds like, I love that word relationship. This is a bad
It
relationship.
covers all manner of sins, doesn't
Yeah. And
it?
then he talks about the greatness of Britain and how they're going to be strong going forward. And the president needs to be, conscious of that.
Very patriotic.
It is. It's very patriotic. And everyone responds really well to it. Karen calls and she's like, oh, my big brother, you've been so great. But immediately after that, because he's so upset by what he saw with Natalie, I guess he assumed that that was
I think it's
cool.
more than that. I think he's not just upset about the situation, but also that he's having to fight these feelings on a daily occurrence, and he doesn't want it to become something that can't be managed.
Right, that
And
comes into his, and this
he
is
doesn't want to be the US president like creeping on his like catering manager. Like I think that he's not only annoyed about what happened with Natalie and the president, but he's also doesn't want to emulate the president in any way by being creepy with her. And so I think he's just trying to be the opposite of him and being like, all right, I'm going to be three steps ahead. We're going to redistribute her. We're going to get her fired just so that I don't have to worry about this being an issue.
well, not
And
that she's flat out fire. She's just put in
in a
some
different direct place where maybe he
see
doesn't
her
see
for her eye.
her on a daily basis.
Right. And but I the thing that we have already skipped over is that night after the press conference, they play Jump on the radio, and Hugh Grant dancing to Jump through what's supposed to be number 10 Downing Street is fucking hilarious, and it's something that we have to do every time this is on.
Oh, of course. It's hysterical and it is iconic.
Yes, it is. And it is so iconic that When we saw the Pointer Sisters were playing at Epcot at Disney World, your daddy and I had to go and like, sing
Speed
along
through that.
and jump. It was so fun.
That's fun.
It was very fun. So after that redistribution, she sends him a Christmas card. And he opens the Christmas card and it's just in like a sample because of course PM gets like thousands of Christmas cards, but it's in the group that he's given to look at. And when he looks at it, he's like, I need a car. And so
Because
he.
it basically explains, I nothing happened. I swear, I'm so sorry for that. You probably felt awful about that, but I mean, I am actually yours.
Yeah.
And
And he's like, ooh,
ooh,
I need a car.
imagine he
And
never saw
this is funny. It's
that
one of their previous things. She had been talking about a boyfriend who dumped her. He's like, I could get the SAS.
Yeah, who like
The
insulted them. And this is an ongoing thing
oh
of
my.
like the size of big tree trunks. And
She's
then
gone.
whenever he brings up Natalie to his manager, she's just like, oh, the chubby girl. No, she is not.
Yeah, they make her out to be far more overweight than she actually is.
I don't like that.
No,
And
but in any case,
I'm glad that he doesn't see her like that at all.
he does not. But he gets the car, and he and his copper are going door to door because he doesn't know exactly where she lives on this super long street where she lives. And as they go door to door, they end up being asked to sing carols, and his copper has this amazing bass voice. And then they knock on Mia's door. Fuck.
She's her next door neighbor.
Yeah, and she's like, oh yeah, no, Natalie lives next door. And she's like, you're not who I think you are. And he's like, yeah, I am.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Not tempted by you. Goodbye, temptress.
Yeah, because she's like practically naked, which in England in December I would not do. But she,
Whatever you do in your own house is up to you.
yeah, I guess. So she they go next door and she's about to leave with her family to go to this Christmas pageant that we keep mentioning. And they pile into his limo to get a ride, which is just around the corner to the school.
With her cousin that or brother or something,
It's her brother, I think, who has the
I
octopus
think.
costume or something like
And
that.
he sits between them.
Yeah, and they're trying to have this I love you conversation with this octopus in between. It's really
And
cute.
the way she puts it is just like there was a fire and it's the president of the United States. Like I didn't know what to do. And so she just didn't, I think she just didn't want to make the situation worse by like assuming anything. But then once by the time it became clear to her, he had already walked through the door.
Yeah.
And
Yikes.
yikes. And then literally right around the corner. And so her brother's just like trying to, he's climbing over Hugh Grant, trying to get out of the car. And then she's just like, you want to come inside? And he's just like, I don't think that's a great idea. I am also the prime minister. Just like, it was my old school. We can like sneak around the back. And
He's
he's
like,
trying to
really?
say that I love you this entire time, but like she keeps getting interrupted and all that stuff. And so they sneak in to the school and they're backstage of the pageant. And when Joanna is singing All I Want for Christmas Is You, they're like sneaking behind the set and behind a curtain and they end up kissing and it's really, really cute. And the curtain opens to show a sign that says Merry Christmas and it's just them making out and everyone sees. And then they pull away from the kiss and they're like, what do we do? And then he's just like, just smile and wave, just smile and wave. And
And she's
it's
like
very
holding
funny.
it.
And
Yeah.
then there's a cute moment at the end when he's returning back, like he would be on the same airplane, but whatever. He's returning back from like a trip or something. And she jumps into his arms and he's like, oh God, that was you're heavy. And she's just like, shut your face. And then they kiss and it's really cute.
Is really cute. It is a very, very cute relationship. So I this is why this is my number one Christmas romance, is that you've got all the possible Christmas romances, and some of them are actually good. So, it wins best Christmas romance. But so we do have more to come in the Christmas category. So our next, wow, next thing is the movie without which we feel deprived at Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was best slash worst Christmas specials.
Oh wait, no, you're right. Best, best, worst. Christmas specials,
Oh boy.
kids specials. I think it can include
I mean,
some.
I think that we could do movie without which we feel deprived at Christmas first, because it might take us a while to watch all of those Christmas specials.
Yeah, it depends.
We'll
It
see.
could be one of those two. That's for. But we hope you have enjoyed our review of Christmas romances. And we look forward to sharing more of our thoughts. I really didn't drink. More of our thoughts about all of the Christmas programming out there, because we're going to share them whether you like it or not. We hope that you join us. And
cheers. Cheers.